Well, it was many years ago now, but there was a missionary who was serving in another country, and one day she sat at her desk that was at the window on the second story of her home, and she sat there at the desk, looking out the window, glancing through a pile of mail. Well, in this pile of mail was a letter from home, and she opened it excitedly, and as she opened the letter, a crisp $20 bill fell out. She was pleasantly surprised. She, like all missionaries, struggled and financially was trying to make ends meet. And as she read the letter, she tried to focus on the words, but she was distracted sitting at the window, for she saw a shabbily dressed man just out on the sidewalk leaning against a lamppost outside her door. She tried to focus on what the letter said from home, but she couldn't get the man out of her mind, and she kept thinking, maybe he is in greater financial stress than I. So after thinking for a while, the missionary slipped the $20 bill into an envelope, and she quickly wrote on the outside, "Don't despair." She dropped the envelope outside of the window to the man down below, and he went and picked it up, read the words, opened it up, saw the money. He smiled at the missionary sitting at the window and tipped his hat and walked away. Well, the next day, the missionary was about to leave her home when someone knocked on her door unexpectedly. She went and opened the door, and to her surprise, there stood the shabbily dressed man from the day before. He was smiling, and he handed her a wad of money. She said, "What is this?" The man said, "Well, lady, that's the money you won yesterday. That horse named Don't Despair won." Five to one odds, you hit it big. It's a silly story, but what a great name for a horse. Don't Despair. The name implies if the horse is in the race, then bet on that horse. It will win. Despair, if you look it up in the dictionary, it literally means the absence of hope. So don't despair means hope. If this horse is in the race, there's a good possibility it will win. Bet on it. Place your money on hope, not despair. But I wonder, which horse do we usually bet on in our lives? Where is our money? Where is our focus? If we had to bet on two different horses, one named Don't Despair and one named Despair, we'd probably lean toward the one that says Don't Despair and hope, but do we live our lives that way? Do we live our lives with hope, or do we live our lives more with despair? Maybe another way to answer that question is, which horse is winning the race in your life? Is it despair or hope? One person has written that if there were such a thing as an endangered species list for virtues, hope would be at the top of the list. The person says, for too many people, the bird of hope has ceased to sing its tune. Well, if he is correct, that's a difficult message to hear. There's more despair in our world today than hope. It's a difficult message to hear any time, but especially during this season of the year, the Advent Christmas season. If this season is anything for us as Christians, this certainly is a time and a season for hope. We see that attitude, that perspective, that expectation in children, don't we? Jessica and the children talked about it earlier. Do you remember that experience, that feeling from childhood, that feeling of, I'm so excited, I can barely stand it? That approach, that perspective on life that says, I can't wait until Christmas. That's eager anticipation. It is excitement about the future. It is hope-filled. Is that your experience today? Does that experience, that feeling, just kind of go away the older we get? What happens to that excitement? Someone will say, well, we grow up, we mature, we gain real life experience, we get to know the world and what to expect from it. Yes, but if we are not careful, we not only lose those hopeful feelings from childhood, but we also lose our dreams, our visions for life. I had a conversation with a young man whom I admire very much this past week. He doesn't go to our church, but he and I have shared many in-depth conversations over the past several months. This last week we were talking about an overwhelming sense of despair that he has been experiencing lately. And as we talked and tried to get to the root and the source of that despair in his life, it became very clear this past week in our conversation, his dream has died. His dream has died. He thought his life was taking a certain path and he anticipated everything toward that path, but now it doesn't seem that path is possible. There are too many obstacles. There are too many problems. That happens for us. What do we do when our dreams die? The Christian faith is a faith that is built on hope. That's why we light this candle this morning. Our faith is built on hope. We read and adore and study a book that is a book of hope. This book is filled with the persistent, constant belief and message that through the trauma and tragedy of life, God is still working for good. It is the constant, persistent message of our scriptures that no situation in life is ever without hope. And according to the Bible, the basis of hope is God's ability to take any situation and circumstance of our life, no matter how hopeless it seems, and transform that situation. Now, it may not transform the way we want it to. It may not change in our time or the time that we would like. But the constant message from Scripture is that our God is always working toward hope. What God says time and time again to God's people is, don't despair. Don't despair. Think about what was happening in our text for today in the book of Isaiah. In this passage from Isaiah that happens at the very beginning of this prophetic book, what we learn is the people of Israel are at war. They are at war not just with one, but with two very strong and powerful enemies. They are literally fighting for their lives at the beginning of the book of Isaiah. Their enemy armies are engaged with full battle with the people of Israel, and the Israelites are losing the fight. The northern kingdom of Israel is under fire from the Assyrians. The southern kingdom of Israel has been taken captive and they are now slaves through the Babylonian exile. This was an extremely difficult period of time in the life of Israel. The situation looks bleak. It is frightening. For Israel, there seems to be very little hope. But it is right in the middle of this war and right in the middle of this bleak, dark circumstance that Isaiah is given this vision from God. And in this vision, God promises Isaiah. Listen to what he says. My temple will be exalted in the highest mountain of this earth. That's what God says when he says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among all the mountains. God's dwelling place, he says, would become the gathering place for all the nations and all the people of earth. And they would come to learn God's ways and they would trust in God's salvation. In God's ways, their weapons of war would become tools of agriculture. Think about that. That's what Isaiah means when he says the people would beat their swords into plowshares. They would change their spears into pruning hooks. These weapons of war would actually become instruments of hope. In this difficult time, God's promise is a word of hope that is given to God's people. I would share with you today that is a much needed message for our world. That is a much needed message for our nation. It is a much needed message of hope for our community and maybe as well for your life today. Hope comes from God. Our hope is not in this world getting better or safer. Our hope is that one day God's ultimate plan for this world will be revealed and all the people will recognize the truth that God's word says and God's plan of salvation offers to this world. Jesus says the same thing in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus reminds all of the people. He says, one day I will return. In other words, one day the Master will return and usher in God's final plan of salvation for the world. God's plan will be fulfilled. That is our hope. That is why we light this candle. That is our faith. But someone will say, yeah, but that's way out in the future, right? What about now? What about today? I mean, that hope is way out there. What about hope for today? Well, this morning we would say yes, our ultimate hope is God's plan being fulfilled here on earth. But in the meantime, it is the message of Christmas that gives us hope for the living of these days in the here and now. You see, Isaiah did not know the full story because Christ had not yet come. Isaiah only knew the end of the story. But we now have a different kind of hope that can be experienced today because Jesus Christ has come. Emmanuel is with us, and that gives us hope for the living of these days in the here and now. You see, we light this candle of hope for a reason. It is not just wishful thinking. It is not just a wish from us that maybe everything's going to turn out okay. No. We light this candle because the message of hope is this. Jesus Christ has come, and he promises to be with us, to never leave us, regardless of the situation of our lives. When life is good, Christ promises to be present. When life is not so good, when life is tough, Christ promises to be present. That is our present hope for our lives today. Christ is always with us. I read that it was in 1994, 24 years ago, that two Americans answered an invitation from the Russian Department of Education to teach morals and ethics based on biblical principles in the public schools in the former Soviet Union. They were also invited not only to teach in the public schools, but also to teach in prisons, in businesses, in fire and police departments, and they were even invited to teach at a large orphanage. About 100 boys and girls who had been abandoned, abused, and left to the care of this government-run program were in this orphanage where these two Americans went to teach. Well, when they returned to the United States, they told about an experience they had while they were teaching at the large orphanage. It was nearing the holidays, so these two Americans decided that they would tell the Christmas story to the children and the staff of the orphanage. It would be the first time for most, if not all, of the 100 children and even the staff to hear the story of Christmas and the birth of Jesus. So the teachers told the story, and they told about Mary and Joseph and their journey to Bethlehem. They told about them arriving in the town of Bethlehem, but there was no place for them to stay. They found no room in the inn, and they told about how the couple went out into the back to the stable where the baby Jesus was born and where he was placed in a manger. And throughout the story, the children and the orphanage staff, they sat on the edges of their stools trying to grasp every word of this incredible Christmas story. Well, when the teachers finished, they gave all of the children three small pieces of cardboard and told them that to the best of their ability, they were to construct a manger. They were given a small piece of yellow paper from yellow napkins. It was the only colored paper they could find, and they were told to tear off strips of the napkin and place it in their manger as straw. And then after that, they were also given a very small piece of fabric that was to be a blanket for a baby. The final piece of instruction was that a doll-like baby was then cut from felt cloth that the missionaries had brought from the United States. So after giving the children these instructions, the missionaries began walking around the room and seeing what the children were doing and trying to answer questions. And everything was going well until they got to the table where a little boy named Misha sat. Misha was about 6 years old. And by the time the missionaries got to him, he had already finished constructing his manger scene. But when the missionaries looked at what the little boy had put together, they were startled because there was not one, but two babies in the manger. Quickly, the missionaries asked for a translator to come over, and they asked the little boy, "Why? Tell us about your manger scene. Why are there two babies in the manger?" Well, Misha crossed his arms, and he looked at his completed manger scene, and the little six-year-old boy began telling the Christmas story. For one so young, who had only heard the Christmas story one time, he told the story in exact detail, precisely describing how Mary and Joseph had journeyed to Bethlehem. They found no room and how they had to go in the back, and Jesus was born in the manger, and everything was going great until he got to the very end of the story. And that's where Misha's story changed. His ending was different. Here's what Misha said. "And when Mary laid the baby in a manger, Jesus looked at me and asked if I had a place to stay. I told Jesus that I have no mama, I have no daddy, so I don't have a place to stay. So Jesus told me I could stay with him. But I told Jesus I couldn't stay with him because I didn't have a gift like those wise men had. But I wanted to stay with Jesus so much. So I thought about what could I have that I could give as a gift? And I thought, maybe if I keep him warm, that would be a good gift. So I asked Jesus, if I keep you warm, will that be a good enough gift? And Jesus told me, if you keep me warm, that will be the best gift anybody ever gave me. So I got in the manger with Jesus." And Misha said, "Then Jesus looked at me and he told me that I could stay with him for always." As little Misha told his version of the Christmas story, his eyes filled with tears. The tears dropped down on his cheeks. Finally, he put his face in his hands, and he sobbed, and he sobbed, and he sobbed. The little boy with no parents had found someone who would never abandon him and never abuse him, someone who would stay with him for always. I wonder, is that a hope you need today? Is that a version of this Christmas story that you need for your life today? No matter what, God will never abandon you or forsake you for always. You know, Thornton Wilder says, hope is a projection of the imagination, but so is despair. He says, despair all too readily addresses the ills it foresees, but hope is an energy that arouses the mind to see every possibility to combat those issues and ills. In response to hope, he says, the imagination is aroused to picture every possible outcome, to try every door, to fit every, even the most opposite pieces of the puzzle. This morning, we light the candle of hope. The light from this candle shines so brightly because it proclaims exactly what we believe. For the Christian, hope is based on one simple but profound truth. Christ has come. Emmanuel is with us. And God promises to be with us in every situation of life, through the good and the not so good. Christ is with you. And he promises to be with you for always. Let us pray. Oh God, your message to us this day is filled with comfort, assurance, and especially hope. Lord, the living of these days can often become so clouded with the despair of this world, and the darkness overshadows us. But this morning we light this candle because the light reminds us of your promises, of your prophecies, and of your truth. That you are always with us, you will never abandon us, for always. So Lord, lead us and guide us, bless us, as we seek to live within your promises. For we pray in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.